Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
They're a talented group defensively. Very sound. They have their rules. They stick to their rules. You know, Coach Zimmer does a great job getting them in great plays, and they make it tough on offenses. So that D-line, they're impressive. They'll get after you, and so it'll be a good test for us.
49ers quarterback Jimmy Garoppolo. Welcome back to Weekend Mornings with Sam and Greg, Saturday edition. Windy on the other side of the glass. Sports Radio 929 The Game, 929TheGame.com.
You like the nickname that Stephen A gave him? I like it. I just think it's funny the way he says it. Porn star Jimmy.
See.
I think that's funny. You don't think that's funny?
Oh.
I think that, but seriously, I think he's the reason why all this upheaval is going on in New England. Because I truly believe, and other people have said this, that the long-term plan that Belichick had in his head was Garoppolo in place as Brady's skills diminished. As you know, I don't know how much his skills diminished now. He just doesn't have the targets. But this is around the time that Belichick has traditionally got rid of a veteran who still got some game left, right?
Right.
But now this dude is sitting out. And, man, just set him up in the palace of all palaces, meaning Garoppolo, sending him to San Francisco.
Brand new stadium.
I mean, really?
They got the great sweet digs out there, right? And they got the team, and they're going to be in action later on today.
Did you see John Lynch doing what he has done out there as the GM?
No.
And Shanahan doing what he's done as the coach? And, you know, Garoppolo, we got to figure he had the talent because obviously he came from, you know, under Belichick's umbrella. So even though he didn't play that much.
Yeah, it wasn't really proven. So when they did, a lot of people said, man, they're going to give this dude all this cash. And he's got the cash. But then the injury comes.
The injury comes.
You know
now that we see him playing, you know.
It makes more sense. But before that, we were like, hey, really? You know? But you can see where, if he remains in New England, he's in place to step in when Brady leaves. But it seemed like, you know, Brady won't leave. Or maybe he will be leaving after this year. But now Garoppolo's on the West Coast.
That's what I'm saying. So I'm saying that this is what's thrown a monkey wrench into the plans, the long-term plans of New England, and I think Brady knows this, and I think he's holding his guys hostage, and he's going to do whatever he wants to do out the door, if he's going out the door. And moreover, he don't have to deal with the coach. He's one of those rare players who could, and I mean with any sport, Michael Jordan didn't, you know, if he didn't want to, he didn't go knock on Phil Jackson's door. He bypassed Jerry Krause. He'd go right to the owner for something, you know. Now, him and Phil had a different kind of relationship, but there are those players who can bypass the coach, even if the coach is great. And I think that his relationship with Kraft leads him to believe from time to time, if I want to do something or I want to do this or I want that, this is just what I believe.
Yeah.
Then he'd go to Kraft instead of trying to work it out with Belichick, especially now where their relationship is after all these years. You know, folks get sick of each other.
Well, you know, that's why, though, because you know what he's going to do today? He's going to sit down with a bowl of popcorn and watch the games just like we will. You know what I mean? Because he's watching, or he's listening because he ain't playing.
I don't even think he's in this country, to be honest with you.
I
don't even think he's in this country. I think the wife yanked him and the kids out of the country, so he doesn't have to deal with this and hear all that noise. But I'm glad you brought that up about the popcorn. Not all of us will be able to do the Terrell Owens and sit back and watch the games that way. If you can't get in front of a TV, you can hear those games right here. Minnesota, San Francisco being the first one. Pregame at 4 o'clock. Kickoff at 4:30, followed by Tennessee and Baltimore. Pregame 7:45. Kickoff at 8:15. All right, there's another team going on here who has, you know, first of all, they go into New Orleans and do what they did there. For the second time, well, you actually know, the other game was in Minnesota.
Folks, can I say this? The folks in New Orleans are going to end up making a doll out of somebody in a referee shirt. They're going to have that thing down in the French Quarter sticking pins and needles.
Yeah.
It's always something, isn't it?
But the last couple times has been Minnesota.
Yeah, but I mean, with the Saints, it's something involving a call they think they should have gotten that didn't happen. And
you know what karma is?
Ooh.
Remember a couple years ago when they got fined for all that stuff and cheating and they had to get rid of Greg Williams and, and all that. And then the coach had to sit out for a year. And
you think that's
I'm just saying. Yeah. Wow. You're the world-class conspiracy theorist.
Conspiracy theorist, yeah.
So I'm just saying, karma comes back around from time to time. And there's nothing worse. It's one thing being eliminated, not even making the playoffs, but getting a taste of it like they had. They can see the trophy, and then they have it pulled away from them.
Yeah.
The way they've had it. That's karma. That's a slap on the you-know-what for what you did a few years ago.
Hmm. You know, I hadn't thought about it that way. But, yeah, you're right. That did happen.
Well, listen, there's no slam dunk that everything that we said about San Francisco and get ready for this matchup today is going to play out the way they would like. There's a team, like I said, that took out the Saints, and they're looking real good, and they're sneaking up on folks like Tennessee. You know, you didn't expect them to go into New England. Minnesota could be that team in the NFC that folks don't expect. And Mike Zimmer is enjoying all of this, and he had something to say about, you know, being there before.
I do feel like us being in the NFC Championship game 2 years ago, we can draw on some things through that course of that process that we had. And, you know, one thing is, you know, the number of media that's going to be out on the field before the game. As these games continue to get bigger, the distractions become bigger. And so I think we can draw on that. You know, it's still going out and playing good football.
What do you think? First of all, I like me some Mike Zimmer. You like him?
Yeah, I like what he's done up there.
I'm glad he's healthy, too, because remember, we thought this was going to be, you know, he's going to have to wear a patch over one of them eyes moving forward because of his issues.
Yeah. That's all happened very well. And the Vikings, you know, get past the Saints down at New Orleans.
Mm-hmm.
And so they did an impressive style. I mean, they get back there and they get a chance to take on San Francisco. Now, going on the road seems to agree with this Vikings team. You know, we see what happens out of San Francisco today. The 49ers are still a favorite. I like the 49ers in the game today, but it's hard to really say the Vikings not going to go out there and compete. They could go out there and pull it off.
Cousins got that big win, you know, finally.
And that's what everyone said.
Got a chance to say you like that again. That was kind of
what everybody was saying going to last weekend. Yeah, he's great, but he ain't going to win a big game for you. He's great. Yeah, he does this and that, but nah, he don't win the big one. Well, he's had a chance to win a big one now. He's got that in his back pocket as he goes to play today.
Speaking of coaches from the Central Division or the North Division, you hear about Mike McCarthy, what he's been up to? He got hired this past week by the Cowboys.
You pulled my coattail or something, and I'm like, really? You know?
Well, first of all, let's start with this. Were you surprised he was Dallas's pick?
Maybe I was surprised it happened so quickly because they announced that they're not going to Garrett and you know, put an interview in process. It's like,
and why
you know,
did that take a week and a half?
You know what I mean?
I mean, really.
So that's a whole nother episode of Oprah, as you like to say, the whole interviewing process with the coaches and whatnot. But just the fact that he seemed to be the guy, the clubhouse leader, you know, all alone. And, you know, once they announced what they were going to do with Garrett, poof, there he was.
Yeah.
That happened quickly.
Well, I didn't know what he was up to. But thanks to, by the way, a guy who's normally here right now talking and has been for the last 4 years, and we want to just – thank them for our relationship with them, even though they've moved on. But, you know, Sports Insiders was here.
Yeah.
Dan Kamal. And Dr. Dale Yake.
Fantastic.
Dr. Dale sent me something this past week from the Business Insider that Mike McCarthy has spent this past football season, this last year, in a barn. I mean, literally came out this way. In a barn with a number of other coaches learning the latest trends as far as offenses in the NFL.
Because barn is basically an indoor practice facility.
They said a barn.
Like barns with hay and cows and whatnot. It wasn't that kind of barn.
Well, I wasn't there. I didn't see no pictures of it. You know, it's like, hey, listen, we've seen this with heavyweight boxers.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, they go back. They really get to the roots of it. When they go training, they go to a camp. It's a camp. Ain't no king-size beds there. Ain't you know, HBO and widescreens. It's all about training. So maybe he did that. I'm not saying there's farm animals there or livestock, but he just hit a barn.
Okay.
But this is all predicated on the fact that Aaron Rodgers told him walking out the door, man, your stuff is too stale.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, and that's the thing. He's going down and, you know, Dak Prescott is the guy that's there.
Well, see, now there's another thing. He ain't got that check yet. When are they gonna sign Dak? Jones so arrogant to say, well, you know, we're waiting to find out what happens in New England. Maybe that guy's available. See, this is me doing you and being a conspiracy theorist.
I don't know if you'd be a fit for there.
No, I don't either. But it's nice. But that's the kind of arrogance Jerry Jones would have. He delayed talking to somebody's agent. Said, well, you know, been in friend in conversation with my friend, Mr. Kraft, and we're not sure what their quarterback's going to do over there.
Meanwhile, you're talking about a coach who's achieved a great deal in the game and being told by his quarterback that his game has gotten stale. And that's from a quarterback who is known for extending plays, moving out of the pocket and doing some things. And that's the direction that the league is going in now. So no doubt there's some things he wanted to learn to retool and rethink his process. We're seeing some coaches who reinvented now.
Well,
we're seeing one in the national championship game who successfully reinvented in Ed Orgeron.
Ed Orgeron, yes.
You know what I mean? So this is
But doing it with college players, you can institute it as they come up. When you got a veteran team and you try and take a left turn, and or you've been brought into an organization where they know what you got. There's two guys who are on that Mount Rushmore, if you will. I don't know why that popped into my head, but there's two coaches who have what's the word I'm looking for? Evolved.
Evolved.
Okay, in a way to where it worked out. Don Shula. Don Shula was one kind of quarterback when he was, you know, folks forget about the fact that that dude was in Super Bowl III, and he was with the Baltimore Colts.
Right.
Right? And he had a championship team there, and then he gets to Miami, and instead of 3 yards in a cloud of dust, he's getting this gunslinger in Dan Marino. He had to change direction.
Yep.
And the other one is Dick Vermeil, who took an Eagles team to the Super Bowl in 80 with one style. This is the guy who slept in, you know, traditionally sleeping in the office till, you know, all hours of the middle of the night, whatever, never going home.
Right, not going home.
And that old school approach, couldn't do that with the Rams. Those coaches pulled him aside and said, Dick, you got to change things around, and let's try it this way. And next thing you know, it's the greatest show on turf.
Yeah, you got that kind of talent. You got to turn it loose. You got to find a way to let it go. We're going to talk about that more, folks. We're going to talk more NFL, more about these playoffs, things that are happening on the field and off. Eric Coleman, former Falcons safety. Coming up next, you stay with us on this game day Saturday
there
morning
you go.
On Sports Radio 92.9 and 92.9thegame.com.
Sports Radio 92.9 the game, 92.9thegame.com.
You okay over there?
I'm laughing, man. You're just funny. Listen, if you just tuned in and you expect to hear the best of Dukes and Bell, which has been the case for the last X amount of months, we are back. Sam and Greg. We are back Saturday and Sunday mornings, although it's going to be kind of me on the other side of the glass on Sundays for a minute. But then
I get to see you do your Carl Lewis imitation.
Yeah, well, maybe. But you've just been funny this morning, and I'm glad we're hearing from folks we haven't heard from in a while, the Off the Hook Boys.
That's nice.
Mr. Triathlete is out there, Dr. Dale, and you know, we're just doing stuff. And we're talking to folks we haven't talked to in a while. Like Mr. Eric Coleman.
Yeah, we haven't talked to this guy.
We just don't talk to him enough.
I know.
As our grandmothers used to say, baby, you just don't call me enough. Baby, how come you don't call me enough? Eric, good morning, man.
Hey, good morning, fellas. It's, I know we haven't spoken in a while, but it's great to be on the show, and I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, great to have you.
Listen, just so folks didn't know, this guy was a Falcon, but let me run down. You started off with the Jets 4 years there, then you were Atlanta Falcons starting in 08 for about 3 years, and then you finished your career in Detroit. And without getting into too much, and I had a really good question for you, but Sam has overruled me, and he's got this lead-in question, and it's kind of pertinent to what's going on this weekend. If you were still strapping him up and you were playing in that game tomorrow, and you remember Tennessee, just hypothetically. And Mr. Crenshaw, I ask him your question.
Yep, you break the huddle, and across the line from you is is Lamar Jackson. What's the first thing you do if you're up on the field and look across who you see in this guy?
Well, the first thing I do, I'm going to look at the threats that I have, who could attack me vertically. And if it's a tight end, somebody who's, you know, a little slower, then I'm probably going to inch up a little closer to the line of scrimmage to give myself the advantage. But, I mean, this guy Lamar Jackson is something special. I mean, because not only can he beat you with his feet, he can beat you in the air. I mean, he has one of the most accurate deep balls in the league. But when he gets in the open field, he turns into something special. So, you know, it's a tough challenge. You know, for a defensive back, for a safety like myself, it's extremely stressful. Because you have to, not only do you have your responsibilities in the pass game, you know, you have to make sure no one gets behind you, you keep everything in front of you, but there's the threat that when he gets in the open field, there's so much grass in between you and the ball carrier, and when it's a guy like Lamar Jackson, you can look pretty foolish. So it's a stressful situation. You're going to pray that your defensive line gets home, pray that your linebacker stops his feet so he slows down before he gets to your level.
Because yeah, while he was saying all that, I'm just thinking, man, these guys hate getting their ankles broke.
Oh, man, it's the worst.
Listen, since we're talking about that game, for those of you who can't get in front of a TV to see Tennessee and Baltimore, you can hear that game right here. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com tomorrow night. Listen, you were on the Jets during the Michael Vick years, the guy who was most compared to Lamar. And did you ever run into that situation? Because I can't remember the timeline when Mike left the field. Did you ever have to go up against him?
I did. We did. We played the Falcons on Monday Night Football. And I remember vividly because Herm Edwards was my coach. And all week, you know, we had gone through in practice and we had this game plan for Mike. We were like, yeah, you know, when he gets, you know, we're going to keep him in the pocket. You know, we're going to have a spy on him. And Coach Herm was like, listen, when he gets out of the pocket, he's going to pump fake. When he pump fakes, do not jump.
Wow.
Do not jump. Stay on the ground. Try to rally to him and get him down on the ground. Do not jump. All week we were talking about it in meetings. Don't jump. And my boy Kerry Rhodes and I, we were both the safeties. Of course, we were playing him. They're in the red zone. Mike Vick rolls out to his left, all right. And he and Kerry are in the open field. Mike Vick gives him the pump fake. Kerry almost hits his head on the top of the Georgia Dome because he jumped so high. And we were like, no! And then he ends up running around him and scoring a touchdown. And we get to the sideline. He's like, man, as soon as I took off, I just was like, get back to the ground as soon as I can. But Kerry is a crazy athlete, jumped way too high. He probably could have jumped over Vic. And everybody was just looking at him crazy on the sidelines when we get to the sidelines. It was pretty funny.
Eric Coleman joining Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. I misspoke earlier that Tennessee-Baltimore game is tonight. And again, you can hear it right here. 7:30 pregame, kickoff at 8:15.
Thoughts about these playoff games this weekend? Is there one that you really watch? I know you're going to watch that one. Is there one that really intrigues you, you know, this weekend? And thoughts about this round of the playoffs going on without a certain team in the division that you cover all the time? Without the Patriots, what is it like not having those guys around?
Oh, well, I'll address that one first. It's great. It's great seeing the Patriots out of it. Listen, I'm not a Patriots hater. You know, I definitely respect what they've done. But it's just, you know, it's time for the new guard. And it's pretty cool to see all these young quarterbacks, these young teams get opportunities to make a run at it. And, you know, the Tennessee Titans did a heck of a job last week of shutting down Tom Brady, running the football. They had an excellent game plan, and it was pretty cool to see Vrabel go into his old, you know, his old stomping grounds and beat the guy who taught him most of his game. So that was pretty special. Having said that, looking at these games, I mean, you could pick any one of them and say, listen, this is going to be an amazing game. I mean, you have Green Bay, Russell Wilson versus Rodgers. You know, you have the Texans, Deshaun Watson versus Patrick Mahomes. You have the Vikings. You know, there's so many great games, but I would be lying if I didn't say I was looking forward to the Tennessee Titans versus the Baltimore Ravens, just because these are two physical teams on both sides of the ball. They both run the ball well. They stop the run well. They have explosive players. And, you know, I'm excited to see if Tannehill can keep his momentum going, and if anybody, because it didn't look like it at the end of the year, that anyone can stop this Baltimore Ravens offense. Now, they may be out, they may be without Mark Ingram. That may slow them down a bit, but, you know, they're going to need a lot more than that to be out for the Titans to stop this Ravens offense.
Eric, I want to ask you about something that I have been thinking about for a while and see if you agree with me. Because to me, two of the biggest changes that I've noticed in the NFL is the amount of teams, and the numbers back it up, the amount of teams going forward on fourth down and the success rate that they've had, that being one. And the other thing was the old school thinking that you had to sit a quarterback coming out of college for 5 years, 4 or 5 years, before he was ready to be a starter. And you mentioned that Houston-Kansas City game where both quarterbacks came out of the same draft just 4 years ago. And not only are they starting, but they're two of the top quarterbacks in the league.
Yeah, you know, I think it's great. I think that the league now is starting to get analytical. You know, everyone's starting to look at the percentages and understand scenarios and situations. And they're finding that on fourth down, you know, if we can have a high percentage of conversion, then why not go for it? You know, why punt and trust our defense? You know, these offenses are so potent. And the more you can keep the ball out of a Patrick Mahomes' hand, out of a Lamar Jackson and Deshaun Watson's hands, then the more effective you're going to be. And that becomes part of your defensive game plan, is to go for it on fourth down, keep the ball out of their hands, control the time of possession. So that sometimes, you know, they're finding that that works out for teams. And, you know, looking at these quarterbacks nowadays, you know, it used to be, you know, like Aaron Rodgers used to say, you know, when you draft this quarterback, you want him to sit behind the guy for a couple of years, understand the game. But, I think that you have to give credit to these college coaches that preparing these players to play. You know, you look at, these quarterbacks playing in the national championship. You know, it's going to be hard to say, you know, when they make that jump to the NFL, we're going to bench him. You know, we're going to keep this guy on the sidelines because look at the games they played in. They played in pressure, high-pressure situations. They played against great defenses. They're prepared to go to the next level and play. And then when you have guys who are mobile, who are dual threats, it makes it difficult. It puts a lot of pressure on the defense. So I think these young players are doing a great job of getting ready in college and coming to the NFL prepared to play and make a big impact.
I'm sorry, and I'm sitting here pacing because you touched on something. Sam, I want to bring you in on this because I know you want to ask Eric a question too. But
no, go ahead.
This is the enigma of what he just said. He's absolutely right. These college coaches who are preparing them, you talk about these NFL offenses that they run there, and we've seen what Dabo Swinney has done as far as putting quarterbacks in. But then you look at everything he just said. Why doesn't that apply to Alabama? If Tua goes in this year as a first-round draft, that's the first quarterback that Nick Saban's put in the first round, but yet look at the success he's had.
Yeah, you're right about that. And, you know, that's a tough question to answer. You know, Alabama has so much talent around them. You know, you look at all the running backs. I mean, look at the guys in the Tennessee Titans and the Ravens game. I mean, you have Derrick Henry and Mark Ingram, two guys who played together. You know, they have really fantastic running games. They have great offensive lines. And, you know, I think that, you know, for a team like Alabama, they're just used to beating people up, you know, playing smash-mouth football. So they don't really have to rely on their quarterback as heavy as another team would. Now, things have changed, and Alabama has kind of advanced their offense. They're throwing the ball more. They're putting it in the air. They're relying on that quarterback more. So I think that that's going to further prepare them. You know, defenses in that conference are phenomenal. You know, they have great defensive backs. Defensive linemen do a great job of pass rush. And I think Alabama is starting to kind of evolve. And you're starting to see that mobile quarterback who can throw the football, who can control the game, manage the game, make those big-time throws. And you know, it started with Tua. You know, Tua is starting to make that big impact. And I think when he's healthy, he's going to make a big splash in the NFL.
Yeah, that's what we're watching for sure. That's what we're watching for sure. Eric, we are – great to catch up with you, man. Sorry, you know, we hate that we haven't been able to catch up with you for a while, but we're just back on Saturday.
Yeah, we're
Saturday
back
morning.
On Saturday. We got
on
your Saturdays, number.
You know,
we got you. We know where you are.
We're going to call you and wake you up sometime.
He's social, too, isn't he?
He is social. He is social. He is on Twitter, at Eric Coleman, all lowercase, at Eric with a K, at Eric Coleman. He is social. So I just want to make sure people knew that. Thanks so much for the time, man, always.
Oh, it's my pleasure. I look forward to chatting with you guys soon.
Appreciate
right.
it, man.
All right. That is Eric. And, you know, hearing him talk about some things, first of all, comparing facing Lamar Jackson to yeah. actually being on the field and facing Michael Vick. It was interesting to hear him give that scenario. Don't jump.
Isn't it funny, though, when you think about that, when teams back then, we remember the stories of they would talk to and when he was available would bring Steve Young in. He was the guy that was most mirrored to Michael Vick.
Yeah.
yeah. Then when teams were preparing for the Falcons. And
he also talked about something that players try to do. You always try to have a spotlight, somebody shadow Vick. And not everybody, not all NFL teams at the time had the personnel to do it.
Right.
I can think of only two or three teams. I'm thinking the Ravens did, the Eagles did, Tampa Bay, obviously, and then the Bears. I remember they came to town one time. I think Urlacher actually followed him to the locker room. but not everybody had the personnel to do that with him. But you know what? He brought up something about Nick Saban and about how Alabama's teams have succeeded despite not having a type of quarterback. There's another stat about Alabama football.
Well, then you know what? When we come back, you need to tell everybody about that.
Okay.
Coming up top of the hour, we're going to be talking all kinds of college football. But up next, well, that little stat Mr. Crenshaw was talking about. It's Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. And we're arguing during the break here about the producer who's coming up next, Brian Gephardt.
Yeah.
Learned under the capable hands of the gold standard, Wendy yeah, Adams.
Absolutely.
Who's done a great job for us today.
Stay tuned, coming up at the top of the hour.
Well, he's going to be working with the college football game time guys.
Yeah, yeah.
You got your Randy Mack
mm-hmm.
and a couple Johns.
A couple
Johns.
Easy, easy time.
Yeah, we do. We got a couple Johns. Chuckery
yeah.
and Fricky.
Yeah.
So they're going to be joining us, joining you next. And by the way, if you want to chime in on the things that they're talking about or what we're talking about, you give us a shout on the Solomon Brothers Diamond text line.
Yep. 404-741-0929.
There you go.
That's it.
Go ahead.
No, what were you saying?
Well, no, I was going to say, I'm trying to introduce what the stat was that you were talking about last segment.
Yeah.
That you were ready to just spew out, and you saved it a little bit.
Yeah. Well, last segment we talked with Eric Coleman. We talked the most of the NFL playoffs, and you talked about quarterbacks, and we talked about, you know, Nick Saban, with all the success he's had, you know, at Alabama, he's never had a first-round pick quarterback. That
right.
could change this time. But, you know, just think about that. Bear Bryant never had a Heisman Trophy winner. Well, he was coaching down there, but he won national championships, so it's all relevant. But did you know?
This is like your second one of the day.
No.
This is good.
Did you know since, I think, 07, I think whenever Saban came to Alabama, the Alabama kickers have missed over 100 field goals? You would think if somebody's contending and winning for national championship, that they make it feel.
That just tells me that he's had a lot of different kickers on that team.
But they win in spite of that.
Okay.
To have missed, and we know about one big one that they missed.
Now
yes,
we do.
That dude's still running. But I'm just saying, to miss that many field goal attempts and still, we talk about special teams,
right?
And the difference that it can make in winning and losing a championship, and it's obviously he makes up for it in other areas where it's not as big a factor. Maybe going forward, but it hadn't been in the past.
It's just interesting. Now, you brought up the Bear Bryant comparison. There just wasn't the coverage then that there is now, and how everything is parched and how these players are so specialized. And it's just sort of this outlier that they have had the success that they've had. And he's put first-round draft picks in virtually every other position.
Right. Except for quarterback. Right.
Why there? Yeah. Why hasn't that happened?
Yeah.
And again, it's just one of those things that make you go, hmm.
Well, that was an old saying with Bear that nobody was going to get more pressed than he did when he coached the team. So, I mean, no, nobody's going to put up Heisman numbers. You know, he's always had a stable of running backs, and nobody's going to put up Heisman numbers. So nobody won a Heisman when he was there. But the thing I want to talk about is in college, college football game time is coming up, and there is a championship game that I promise they won't even talk about.
You think so?
Yeah, I won't even talk about it.
All right, well, the floor is yours, Mr. Crenshaw.
There is a national championship game today.
A national championship game?
Yeah.
Duce?
For FCS. Oh. And they play a tournament like people think the major schools should. They play a tournament, and the end is number one against number two, which is the way you want it to turn out.
Exactly.
So it's number one against number two, but who knows it?
You know it.
FCS, the old 1AA, it is right. James Madison against North Dakota State. You know, and I'm like, but you know what I'll say this to say? That's the national championship game.
Right.
But I am so glad that the MEAC and the SWAC don't go to the playoffs because the Celebration Bowl gets more attention in this game. And the teams get $1 million checks.
Okay.
I don't think you make much money. I mean, that's true. The FCS championship trophy looks nice in your trophy case up there in North Dakota or wherever you are, but you ain't getting no cash. And who's watching you?
Right. I like how when you said that, though, your head was bobbing from side to side as if to make a point.
Obviously.
But you're.
I don't care the HBCU's.
What's more important the long term? Who's going to remember the check in 5 years from now when there's a trophy with this other team in somebody's trophy case or when you walk into the athletic? I'm just saying that if somebody's going
to
get a trophy today,
But yeah.
Okay.
But they get one from Celebration Bowl.
But it's not a national champion. It doesn't say national champion. It says Celebration Bowl.
It's a Celebration Bowl HBCU national champion.
Right. I understand.
Okay. So, I mean, and usually those teams are nationally ranked. I mean, this year, as a matter of fact, North Dakota State is playing for the championship today. Next season, they will play North Carolina A&T in a regular season game. And A&T is the team that has won the Celebration Bowl more than any other. They will play. They've scheduled a regular season game tomorrow. They're playing in Fargo, North Dakota, which I ain't crazy about.
No, it isn't.
But they are going to play.
How you doing, dear pal?
Yeah, you know what I mean. But they are going to play next season. College basketball. I want to remind some people before we get out of here. If you're going to the Georgia Auburn game, be aware that that game has been changed. They're playing it at Auburn, and you should be on the road now because that game is going to start at 12 noon our time, 11 a.m. Central Time. And Coach Bruce Pearl made that change yesterday because of the weather that is coming in our direction.
Yes, it is. And we're looking at it right now up on TV. Get your running around done early today.
Yep, they're talking about that. Georgia Tech is on the road. They're up in Boston. They're playing Boston College. They're a 6 o'clock start today. Georgia State is on the day 2 o'clock. They're playing Louisiana Monroe. I'm headed over there. I'll be doing the game on ESPN+. Georgia Southern's home at 4 o'clock against Louisiana, and Mercer's on the road at Western Carolina. That's just some of your D1 teams. Kennesaw State not playing today.
And we just haven't – I mean, the love that should be pointed at the Bulldogs in their program, we haven't talked much about it today.
This was a great week for college basketball because, you know, you had a fever pitch over at Stegman this week when Kentucky came in. I hadn't seen Stedman like that in a long time. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of enthusiasm and excitement. They come up short in the game, but there's an expectation. People are expecting something after that win over Memphis. And then the night later, here right in Midtown, Georgia Tech, screaming place. They're right there. They're competing with Duke. They're leading for much of the game, but Duke comes back and win. I said, man, this is excitement for college basketball in this town. It's kind of like throwback to the days of Hugh Durham and Bobby Crimmins.
Right.
You know, when those tickets were really hard tickets to come by for college basketball. So it was a good feel, a good vibe for college basketball this week.
Speaking of Georgia basketball, I'll take a second, and tomorrow we'll probably talk more about it because we will be together again tomorrow.
Yeah, we will.
And I'll be producing.
Yeah.
This is one of those things, when it comes out of my mouth, I'm going to feel old, and a lot of other folks are going to feel old.
Oh, a lot of.
But happy birthday, Dominique Wilkins.
Yeah.
60 years old.
Wow.
The human highlight film.
Yeah, man. Yeah. Yeah. The big 6-0-4.
When you hear people talk nationally about him, he doesn't get the credit that he deserves. I remember Charles Barkley lobbying for him to get in. Were it not for Barkley, I don't think them dudes would have realized what played here during the 80s.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, yeah, he was a guy in the slam dunk competition. No, he was a little bit more than that.
No, more than that.
He took Larry Bird to the brink. Unfortunately, he didn't have the team around him that Larry had, but the matchups between the Hawks and the Celtics during those years.
Epic.
Phew. Epic. One more shot at some jobs before we turn things over to the college football game time show. That's up next. Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.